Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Now, if we honestly look at the world today, we do see a world that is teetering on the brink of destruction. Nations are always on the verge of fighting other nations. Man is fighting fellow man. There's division within the United States and other nations between peoples of those nations. Society is being turned upside down on so many fronts. And this is in the daily headlines. Why? What has brought us to the point that we are today? It's so easy to just read the daily headlines and be caught up in the moment. But we do need to take a step back and think about how we got here. Why are we here? And of course, where are we heading? We have to go back in history. We have to go way back in history, before mankind existed. And we have to see the cause of the problems that we're facing today. And the cause is sin. Where did sin begin? That's what we're going to take a look at today. Notice this quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. It's a great course, and it's free at thetrumpet.com, so please sign up for it. It says, when God placed angels on earth, he set a great archangel over them to administer the government of God. This archangel's original name in Hebrew meant lightbringer, Lucifer. That was his name in Latin. Now, Lucifer was a super spirit being of awesome, majestic beauty, dazzling brightness, supreme knowledge, wisdom, and power, perfect as God created him, with a mind able to reason and make choices. But Lucifer chose to sin. He chose to sin. He chose to go against God's law of love. He went against the give way of life. He thought it would be better to compete, to get. And so when we look at the world today, we see a spirit of competition, of greed, of lust, of getting. And that began with Lucifer when he rebelled and became Satan. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 tell us of Lucifer's original created state and his great sin. Now, Satan hates history. Have you noticed that people aren't as interested in history today in most cases, especially when we're talking about, say, academic institutions? They're not as interested in history. In some cases, they just hate history. Well, Satan hates history because it reveals a lot about him. What he was, what he became, and what he is doing today. Satan doesn't want us to study and think about his history. But if we are going to understand sin, and we're going to understand how to conquer sin, we have to understand what happened to Lucifer and how he became Satan. So this is ancient history as we would view it humanly, but it couldn't be more current because it has everything to do with us, you and me, and the societies that we find ourselves in today. Let's look at Ezekiel 28 to start today. We have a few passages to look at. And in looking at these, it'd be great to get out your Bible and go through them as well. Ezekiel 28, let's read verse 14. This is the history there of Lucifer. It says, you are the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set you so. God talking. God set him so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. So this awesome picture of Lucifer's beginning. And if we look at Exodus 25, we can see that the Ark of the Covenant was to be made in a certain way, and it was patterned after God's throne in heaven. So this gives us more insight into what God's throne room was like. Exodus 25, verse 18, it says, and you shall make two cherubims of gold, of beaten work shall you make them, in the two ends of the mercy seat. verse 19 says, and make one cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. And verse 20 says, and the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. So an awesome picture here. The mercy seat depicted God's throne, the headquarters of the government of God over the entire universe. And the correspondence course says, two cherubs, or cherubim, were to be stationed at the mercy seat, one on each side. Their wings were to cover this likeness of God's throne. This signifies that these superior angels were involved in the very administration of the government of God over all of God's creation. So this is the history of Lucifer. He was fully trained in God's law. Remember, he was one of the covering cherubs. So he was fully trained in God's law and administration of God's government. And he was obedient. He was a light bringer. He was happy. He was joyful. Wherever he went, he brought light with him. And of course, he's very different today. But after ruling over the earth for some time, and we don't know how long, Lucifer wanted more. He wanted more. He coveted total rule over everything. It wasn't enough to have the awesome power that he had. It wasn't enough to rule over a third of the angels on the earth. He wanted more, and he wanted it now. And his attitude changed. It changed. He used to be a light bringer, but then something changed. Notice back in Isaiah 14, this is more of that history. Isaiah 14, and we'll start in verse 12. It says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? And verse 13 says, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Well, he didn't want to just be like the Most High. He wanted to be the Most High. He wanted to be over everything. He wanted to rule over God. He wanted to be God. His attitude changed. The correspondence course says, it is plain that Lucifer had nothing less in mind than knocking the Creator God off his throne and becoming supreme God himself. Here was a supreme masterpiece of God's creative power as an individually created being, turning on his own creator as a Frankenstein monster attempting to destroy its own maker in an attempt to assume all power to rule the whole universe. See, Satan's government is not based on God's principles of love. It is based on competition, hatred, spiritual darkness and error. It is based on ugliness instead of beauty. And think about the societies we live in, whether you find yourself here in the West or you're in another nation. We have listeners all around the world. What about the society that you're in? What about the government? What do you see? Do you see competition, hatred, spiritual darkness and error, ugliness instead of beauty? In a lot of cases, yes, you see that. I don't think it takes too much even thinking on the topic to realize that's what the governments are, whether it's national government or smaller governments and even companies and corporations, things like that. In so many cases, this is the overriding principle. It's the overriding principle of the way the world works. You know, you've heard that expression before. Well, that's the way the world works. Yeah, well, that's true. It does work this way, but it doesn't really work, does it? No, it leads to destruction. It leads to all sorts of ugliness and competition and hatred and vanity, all of these things. And that's what we see when we look at the world today. And it's because of the attitude that Satan broadcasts. Mr. Fleury wrote this in The Real Star Wars, and you can read that at thetrumpet.com. says Lucifer became bitter, and he filled the earth with violence. And that is what he's all about, violence and bitterness. God changed Lucifer's name from Lightbringer to the Adversary, or Enemy of God. And that's what he is to this day. He's the Adversary. He's the Enemy of God. He's against God. And he's against everything that God is trying to create. And he's also against mankind. He hates mankind because he knows mankind has the incredible human potential to be born into the very family of God as God being. Satan never had that potential when he was Lucifer. Of course, now he has no potential, no future because of his sins. But he never had that opportunity. Now, he had a wonderful opportunity, but he rejected it. And he wanted to be over everything. And he hates man, and he hates God, and he hates what God is trying to do with mankind. And that's why you see so much misery and suffering on this earth today, because he has deceived the whole world. He's deceived the whole world. You can read that in Revelation 12, into following after his way. And look at the destruction and the violence and the terrible misery that we see. It's because of sin, and it's because of Satan's way and his government. Notice Ezekiel 28. We'll look at a few passages here. Ezekiel 28, starting in verse 15. It says, "You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you." Well, what does iniquity mean? It means lawlessness. Lawlessness. He does not want to keep the law of God. He will not. Satan will not keep the law of God. He rebels against it. There was a lawlessness found in him. Verse 16, it says, "By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned." You have sinned. This is where sin began. And it goes on to say, "Therefore, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God." He's not part of God's government anymore. It says, "And I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." And then notice this, verse 17. "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings that they may behold you." Satan allowed wrong thoughts to warp his mind. His thinking became twisted. He became perverted, distorted, because he was so much into vanity. He became intoxicated with it, where he thought that he was great. And he did have amazing beauty, and he did have amazing talent that God created him with, but he became vain, and he sinned. Lucifer became the first rebel, the first sinner. And we see that sin and that broadcast and that thinking permeating the earth today. Is there a vanity problem on this earth? Of course there is. Do we battle with vanity personally? Everybody does, because Satan broadcasts it. The Correspondence Course says, "Lucifer subtly, perhaps very gradually, one angel at a time at first, subverted the angels over whom God had placed him until he succeeded in turning their minds to rebellion also." And this, incidentally, might have taken Lucifer a very long time, perhaps millions of years. You know, we don't know. The Bible doesn't give us a timetable on that. But Lucifer made the angels feel dissatisfied and wronged by God, injecting resentment and bitterness into their minds. It's worth stopping for a moment and just considering that and thinking about ourselves. Because, again, we are all battling against sin. We battle Satan, we battle ourselves, and we do battle the influence of society. And Satan broadcasts his sinful attitudes and his moods and his feelings. So we have to battle this. And Lucifer made the angels that were under him feel dissatisfied and wronged. And he injected resentment and bitterness into their minds. Be very careful. We all have to be very careful about these types of attitudes. Being dissatisfied. Well, I don't have enough. I'm not given enough. Why does that person have more than me or more opportunity? Or, you know, there's lots of ways to think about that. But if it's an attitude of dissatisfaction and being wronged, well, it leads to bitterness, resentment, and bitterness And when a person becomes bitter in their thinking and in their mind, it's very hard to change. It's very hard to overcome that. And so we have to work very hard to not let those feelings and those attitudes be in our minds. And they are broadcast. I think there wouldn't be one of us that could say we've never had a feeling of dissatisfaction or have being the feeling of being wronged or maybe having some resentment. We've all had those feelings. We have to battle those and reject those and go to God in prayer and ask Him to help us to get rid of those wrong thoughts, because if they stay around, if they stay in our minds, well, it ends up turning into bitterness. That's what happened to Lucifer and the angels that he ruled over that became demons. Lucifer became Satan. Satan's still broadcasting that attitude today. So what happened? What happened to Lucifer and the rebellious angels? Well, let's look at Revelation 12. Revelation 12, and we'll see here in verses 3 and 4. It says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." So quite a bit is expressed here in Revelation 12. We see that Satan attacks God's true church. He tried to kill Christ when he was born. But the point we're looking at specifically is the fact that his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and then cast them to the earth. These are the third of the angels that became demons. He twisted their thinking as well. He twisted their minds as well. And if he could do that to the angels, well, certainly he can do that to mankind, and he does. Notice Isaiah 14, Isaiah 14 and verse 12. "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" Lucifer was cut down because of sin. He became Satan. The angels that he had rule over became demons. And if we stay close to God, then we have the power we need to conquer Satan. But if we allow Satan's thinking to be in our minds, bitterness, resentment, those sorts of feelings, well, the mind becomes warped and it becomes corrupted and it hates God and it hates God's law. And so, I mean, look at the success rate that Satan had. The indication is every angel that he had rule over, he was able to deceive. That's a very high success rate. The Laodicean church, which that's the era that we're in now, the Laodicean era, he was able to deceive 95% of them, roughly. He had an even higher success rate with God's true ministry. We can't let Satan's thoughts stay in our mind, because his success rate of deception is, it's almost 100%. Not quite, but almost. Certainly for those who don't rely on the power of God, it is 100%. So we have to take this very seriously and learn the lesson here that we need to be close to God and resist Satan. The Correspondence Course said, "Lucifer turned against God's law of love. He became jealous of God, envious and resentful against God." Just think about some of these words and think about mankind and think about, well, ourselves even, and some of the temptations and some of the ideas and the thoughts that we have to battle against. Jealousy, envious, resentful. The quote goes on to say, "He allowed lust and greed to fill him." And do we see lust and greed on this earth today? Absolutely. It says, "And he became bitter. This inspired the spirit of violence. He deliberately became his maker's adversary and enemy." That was his choice, not God's, yet it was allowed by God. He was a free moral agent, Lucifer was. "God changed the adversary's name to what he became, Satan the devil. Satan means adversary, competitor, enemy, and the angels who were cast back down to the earth with him became known as demons." They became demons. Well, and this rebellion we see all over this earth today. We see this rebellion on earth today, and this attitude permeates this earth, the societies of this earth, the nations of this earth, wars, fighting, greed, lust, violence. all of those ideas and feelings and moods and attitudes, those come from Satan the devil, who rebelled against God's government. Notice this really, it's a sickening quote. It's from a book called Rules for Radicals. Maybe you've heard of that in passing. There's some pretty high-profile politicians that have been associated with this book. And it was written by Saul Alinsky. And there are, again, some prominent politicians that studied this work and to some extent have been guided by it. But at the front of his book, Alinsky wrote this: "Lest we forget at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical. From all our legends, mythology, and history," he writes, and then he says, "and who is to know where mythology leaves off and history begins?" He's not sure. Or which is which. He says, "the first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom, Lucifer." Wow. Wow. The arrogance of that statement is shocking, as well as, really, I mean, just the ignorance of history. And he's sort of saying, well, we don't know if Lucifer and Satan, if that's mythology or if it's real. Well, it is real. It is the word of God. And then he says, well, he rebelled and he did it so effectively he got his own kingdom at least. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Lucifer did not win himself a kingdom. God had given him rule over this earth when he was sent here. He rebelled. Mr. Alinsky is right. He did rebel. He was a radical. And he rebelled. And he's about to be replaced by Jesus Christ. He will be replaced. His rebellion didn't win him a kingdom. It lost him his opportunity. What will Satan's fate be? What's the fate of sinners? Do they win something? Does rebellion get something? Well, let's see. Let's look at Revelation and see what God says. Revelation 20, the first three verses. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and he bound him 1,000 years during the millennium." And verse 3 says, "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up," no more broadcasting at that time period, "and he set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more." No more deception coming from Satan. What a wonderful time that will be. It says, "till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and then loosed for a little season, and then he will have his final fate. And he will not have a kingdom. He will not have an empire. He will not be involved in the family of God. And he can't die. He does have life inherent. But he does not have a good future ahead at all. It's a very, very bleak future for him. What did rebellion get? What did sin get? Well, it costs everything. It costs everything. And, of course, God loved humanity so much, as you know, that Christ came to this earth as a human being and gave up his physical life. He died. He was killed so that those who repent and that are sick of sin and don't want to do it anymore can be forgiven and can change and then go forward to obey God. There's so many lessons in the Bible about sin, where it came from and where it leads to. And it leads to destruction and no hope and no future. That's where sin leads. And this society today, whether you're in the West or wherever you might be on this earth, we see the fruit of sin everywhere. And it's leading to destruction. We need to remember the history of where sin began. It began with rebellion against God's government by Lucifer. And he became Satan. And he deceived the angels and they became demons, the third that he was ruling over. And of course, he is still the God of this world, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. We need to resist Satan, conquer sin, and then have that wonderful future in the God family that God is offering to everyone willing to conquer Satan's self and society with the power of God's Spirit. That's all the time we have on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.